I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As mandated by the National Football League, your 2025 New England Patriots, under first-year coach Mike Vrabel, cut down their active roster to 53 players as of Tuesday, August 26, 2025, by 4 p.m. Who are the biggest surprises? Who are the most pleasant keeps? Where will the Patriots look next? And exactly who has what kind of say? And what the hell is going on around here? Tonight, we called in the heavy hitters. We got the Lion's Den. We got the Freeze Pops. We got your old pal Fitzy. It is the official Six Rings in Football Things 2025 Patriots Roster Cutdown Reaction Pod, and it starts now.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Brogan. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
How soon will Bailey Zappe be back in town? Hour begins right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Six Rings in Football Things. The Patriots 53-man cutdown reaction pod is underway. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens at the helm here on the USS Fanterprise alongside the Lion's Den. The coach is in the house, Johnny Lyons. And of course, the guy behind the scenes who does so much that you guys have no idea exactly how hard this guy works, how many miles he travels, and what kind of effort he puts in. You know him as Tommy Freeze Pops. It's at your boy CT Fresh, Tom Carroll. Gentlemen, how
doing
are we?
Well, it feels like this has been a long time coming, Fitzy. Right? We spent so much time in the offseason talking about their free agent signings, their draft picks, went through training camp, and finally, despite a league with $20 billion in revenue, you have to cut it down to 53 players, and here we are.
Tom, I imagine you probably were very anxious getting a chance to jump on a live pod with us here on the Six Rings and Football Things feed. Quick question before we get things started. When you get your invitation to the wedding of the millennium with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, what will you get the couple that has absolutely everything?
Oh, man. What do you get that couple? I'd say maybe you get them a bottle of barbecue sauce from Vince Wilfork. Little big market tease there.
Oh, wow. Nice plug right there. That's a big market tease across all of the disciplines as well. I'm sure Travis Kelce, who's about to open a steakhouse or has opened a couple of steakhouses, I believe, with Patrick Mahomes, his big guy, his buddy from the Kansas City Chiefs, is familiar with the barbecue sauce as well. I just want to throw in the worst joke of all time. And I just want to say right now, real quick. Well, at least now, maybe the podcast between the Kelce brothers will be able to reach new heights. I'm Casey Kasem. I just wanted to see John bat his eyelashes and just
used
go,
to be
oh,
mad.
God, Fitzy, what did
no,
I,
Fitzy
why
used
did I
to
say
be mad
yes?
Love. Now we got bad blood. So let's move.
Wow, good for you. That's a good.
John, come on, shake it that off. Come on, here we go. All right, anybody else
that
in the comments section?
Good impression, dude. I got a few.
And the commenters are coming in. Of course they have to get married. Travis is pregnant, says Patrick T. McNally. Good to see you guys. All right. So, thank you very much to everybody who is currently watching us on multiple Facebooks, YouTube Live, Twitter, and so much and so forth. And of course, we appreciate everybody who subscribes to Six Rings and Football Things on Apple Pods, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, and wherever awesome football talk is found. Okay, boys, the Patriots, minus a small graphical snafu after much hype, hyperbole, speculation, and dialogue, were able to get their roster down to 53 players by the league mandated 4 p.m. earlier today. There were some surprises. There were a couple of players, several players, as a matter of fact, that were speculated to be traded or disbanded, dismissed altogether as well. I thought it was pretty solid and reasonably predictable, kind of drama free. Let's go to you first, Johnny Lyons. What did you think as the Kaieds and the Daniels and the Reeses and the Whatforths all kept tweeting out about players that were cut and released from the Patriots leading up to 4 o'clock when the roster was
so it's finalized. Funny you say finalized, and even when the Patriots put out their initial graphic, it said initial 2025 roster, and I know it's obvious, but the initial word is so important. I think there's going to be a ton of movement in the next week and a half with this roster, whether it's IR stuff, waiver claims. So, I mean, most of this roster is the roster, but I think even maybe more than we're used to in typical years, it's you're going to see some movement here, whether it's on the O-line, the defensive line, the receiver room. I mean, eight receivers, that's two more than I thought they would keep right there. So it's interesting to me. Again, I know it's always the initial roster, but it feels like this year more than most, we might see some movement.
Tom, I can't believe I have allowed this podcast to go just over 5 minutes without saying that I love eight receivers being kept a lot, not just a ton, an F ton, because of course my guy Efton Chisholm III is a member at least of the initial 53. And I don't think he's going to be one of these guys that they audition for just a couple of games, a la an Amendola-sized version of 2013 Zach Sudfeld. I think he's here to stay, and I think this is a diamond in the Eastern Washington, heavily compensated UDFA rough as well. But like John points out, the eight receivers, like that's stupefying to people that knew the receiver room was like obviously a position of need, but see glaring holes and needs across the rest of the roster as well. And Javon Baker is basically now Brendan Schooler 2.0 as well. Let me hear your first thoughts.
To the eight receiver point, I have to imagine that Kendrick Bourne is here because he has trade value. I think that maybe if he didn't, they would have let him walk. But for a team that is close to competing, a guy like Kendrick Bourne, you can give up draft pick compensation, maybe fourth rounder, fifth rounder type of pick, and you can bring in a guy that is a ready-made NFL receiver that can help a good offense continue to be a good offense. So like you guys have been saying, it's the roster right now. It's not going to be the same roster week one. And when I see Kendrick Bourne making the team, my immediate thought is, where is he actually going to play come week one?
My guess is he goes to, and John Lyons, you seem to, as a former college football coach yourself, you seem to know the rules probably as well, if not better than anybody else at WEEI, save for maybe the people played like Wiggs and Ted Johnson. But the rules change constantly all the time as well. Are the current rules such that if you are put on IR coming off of the 53, but you're on the 53 initially, you only have to miss the first 4 weeks as opposed to you used to be done for the season? Am I correct?
I think it's two slots for guys that are missing 4 weeks, and then the rest of the slots are guys that are missing longer term. There's been some recent movement on that rule. And one point, too, you guys kind of touched on this. Javon Baker, I think him staying on the roster is actually tied to Travion Henderson. And what I mean by that is their primary kick returners have been Antonio Gibson and Travion Henderson throughout all of training camp and obviously in the preseason games. And we saw Henderson with the kick return, but the Patriots only kept three running backs. And I think they're going to want, at least within the first couple months of the year, for Henderson to take on a large role. And if they do that, I think they're going to try to limit his kick returns, which is an area that Baker has worked out at. He returned some kicks last year, albeit, you know, he didn't flash at all by any means, but it's something he has experience in. Right. So I wonder if it could be tied to they think Henderson is going to have a big role by October and they want to limit his kick return snaps. So maybe you'll see Baker not just as a gunner, but as one of your primary kick returners as well.
Yeah, I guess he'll be a gunner, possibly a returner. I mean, it's hard to not allow Travion Henderson to return as many kicks as possible when the guy starts the Vrabel era, the preseason, and the entirety of whatever is this new iteration of the Patriots off with a 100-yard from scratch touchdown reception. But if he's going to be A, possibly your lead running back, and B, your most dynamic player on offense, as Ted Johnson and many others have called him as well, I don't know how many times you want him touching the ball from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as great as he may be at it. Whereas a guy like Javon Baker, I'm not going to say like he's, you know, first guy off the boat at Normandy, but he could be a bit more of a disposable part. I don't think he's going to earn many receiver reps anytime going forward as well, John and Tom. But yeah, I can see him being used in that capacity as well. Just real quick, in case anyone hasn't had a chance to look at the Patriots roster, it does bear repeating that the Patriots did tweet out their roster and then realized they made a mistake and they left somebody on the graphic of the roster who was not actually on the team any longer, that person being Cole Strange, and they had to redo it. They deleted the tweet. They put it back up. Here you go. We have two quarterbacks, Dobbs and May, three backs, Brown, Henderson, Stevenson, three tight ends, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, Jack Westover. We'll get to the usage of the tight end slash fullback in a second, Johnny. We have the aforementioned eight receivers, Baker, Bourne, Booty, Chisholm, Diggs, Douglas, Hollins, Williams. You knew Matt Collins, by the way, Tom, in a video I believe that you captured for the IG and the socials of EEI, was a lifetime Patriot when running drills on Monday, ran through Mike Vrabel with the tackling pads out. Like, come on, most hard-on awesome. Move ever. Right?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I mean, Matt Collins is a big guy, and I think we'll get into him a little bit. I think he's going to be a much bigger part of this offense than people realize.
Yes, and he's also going to be a much bigger part of your responsibilities this fall, because every time he comes out dressed like he's going to Studio 54, but he's actually playing for the Patriots, he's going to catch the eyes on social. Offensive line, yeah, got nine. Bradbury, not long for center on the New England Patriots. That's disposable Ryan Wendell for everyone who's a hardo like you and me, Johnny. Ben Brown, Marcus Bryant, rookie. Will Campbell,
I should say.
Vidarian Lowe, Morgan Moses, Michael Winnow, Caden Wallace, the second-year tackle, now possibly a tackle swing guard, and Jared Wilson. D-line, this is where things start to get a little crazy for the unit or the side of the ball where I think people expect the Patriots to be more competent and dominant at first. Your D-line, you got six guys, highlighted, of course, by Keon White, Milton Williams, and Barmore. Linebackers, you got eight. Marte Mapu being kept as a linebacker. That's huge. Elijah Ponder, undrafted rookie free agent who supposedly has a body that would make Keon White blush. He gets kept as well. Cornerbacks, you've got five. Jones, James, Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, Alex Austin. Six safeties, and we'll probably jump into this one first as well. That's where Schooler factors in, as well as the eraser, the 37-year-old rookie Craig Woodson out of California. And your three special teamers, one other something we got to get into, boys. Julian Ashby, that's your new long snapper. Bryce Baringer, who looks too much like Pedro Pascal for his own good. And your rookie kicker, Andy Barigales from the University of Miami. I'm going to throw it to you first, Lions Den. Which area of controversy or surprise would you like to address?
So one thing that kind of stood out to me right away was that draft pick Braden Swinson out of LSU did not make the roster as a defensive end. And this is a guy that last year was a second team All-SEC player. He had 43 hurries last year. And if you go back to, he played more snaps last year at LSU than he did the previous 2 years combined. So he did need some development, and maybe he'll sneak through and be on the practice squad, but there's a lot of talent there. I think you just need some more experience, but I think Ponder passed him by, I guess, and Jennings is a guy I think, you know, I'm fine with them keeping Jennings, and I think they wanted him around, but I was surprised they didn't find a way for Swinson to make it. I hope he can find a way either on the practice squad or if they manipulate the roster over the next week to find his way back, because
might be my number one practice squad want as well, Johnny. Like this kid, he flashed early, but that Calavan Chasen kind of leapfrogged him, and then Elijah Ponder is someone they just fell in love with.
Those guys, again, that was the position where, like, keeping eight receivers raised my eyebrows. But then again, Swinson not making, that was the one guy who didn't make it that I was like, oh wow, I thought he would have made it and didn't. Mm-hmm. The rest of them weren't super. I mean, Borgalis over Romo, I think that was close. I mean, Cole Strange getting cut, I mean, it's a brutal draft pick. We could talk about that, but I wasn't surprised he didn't make it. He wasn't that good. So really, Swinson, of all the guys that didn't make it, I think he probably stood out the most to me.
One of my favorite viewers and a great podcaster himself, Joe Kocha, watching live on the X right now. Give us Greg Dulcich, the receiver tight end hybrid. Where did he last play?
He was with the Giants, actually. No, he had a nice play.
Oh, that's right. He caught a touchdown against us last week.
That's right. The Jackson Dart touchdown pass, right?
Exactly.
That's right. He caught the dart, the freaking dat early on as well. Quarterback could be a spot for his pops where we may see the Patriots add as well, because they were none too pleased with the Dridge. Let him go to the waivers. How comfortable are you with the Patriots only keeping two, considering that QB2, Dobbs, super smart, everyone loves the Pastronaut, but at the same time throws a lot of hospital balls, and the book gets out on him real fast, and we know how physical and how assertive Drake is and or wants to be this year.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think they need a third? And would somebody like, hey, the old Cutlets, speaking of the Giants, would he, John, you made the noise all of Patriots Nation did when they started reading earlier today, and Mike Reese speculated like, oh, could Tommy DeVito be making his way up to Foxborough? So I would rather Axel Hoyer come out of retirement. Oh, yeah, the friggin' destroyer.
So
what do you got for his boss?
It's funny you mentioned DeVito, because at the Giants game up in the press box.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys were bemoaning the idea of him being the third quarterback because they didn't want to deal with his agent, whatever that guy's name is.
Oh, I interviewed that guy once.
Sean Scalato. Also the agent for Patriots legend Jonas Gray.
Yeah, he's from the North Shore in some capacity.
Oh, that explains it, North Shore.
Yeah. So the people in the press box were all like, please no Tommy DeVito. I personally don't want Tommy DeVito, but they do need a third quarterback, because I am one of those people that has no faith in Josh Dobbs. And I am also one of those people that believes that Drake May very realistically could miss time this year because of the way he plays. And I think he's going to emphasize playing a smarter brand of football this year, but innately he has that Brett Favre gene in him, and he's going to run around and make plays, and it's inevitably going to happen. So, you know, I'm looking at Doug Kide put out a list of quarterbacks that are available here, and it's not all that sexy. I mean, Tommy DeVito is a name, so you kind of look at that first. Maybe a guy like Desmond Ridder, someone who has played in the league. I don't know. Will Greer was here. Sam Ellinger. Kyle Trask played behind Tom Brady. There's not a lot of guys that you can look to and say you feel really good about it. I mean, Tyler Huntley made a Pro Bowl as an alternate.
Oh my God, Snoop Huntley! I hate to laugh in the middle of your analysis, Freeze Pops. But one of our regulars, Jeff Stenberg, down in Tampa Stenberg, offers up this comment. Remember the surfer girl who had her arm bitten off by a shark? I'd rather have her throwing passes with her nub than Tommy DeVito.
He's not wrong.
This is why it's more fun to record a podcast live with degenerates and drunks on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and whatever else, because you never know what you're going to get. And I appreciate that no matter how many people are on the podcast right now, it's a three-man weave, but it's really a fourth because it's the three of us and our audience.
I love thank you for live that, audience. Absolutely.
Well done as well.
When the people can interact.
Let's run through those a couple again. So Desmond Ridder, I think, won the starting job over Tyler Shuck in New Orleans.
Oh,
in,
Spencer Rattler won it.
Oh, Spencer Rattler. Oh, so Desmond Ritter's available, right? Spencer Rattler won that.
He's
Rattler.
Sneaky going to be good. By the way.
Oh my God.
You're in on him.
Rattler?
That's like the eighth. That's like
South Carolina.
Are you kidding me? Say that.
At South Carolina than he was at Oklahoma. I'm just saying. Maybe I'm nuts.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, the snake was one thing in New Orleans, but now we're going with the Rattler. Okay. Under Kellen Moore, I get they'll still lose 14 or 15 games this year, but maybe he'll be better.
I've got
than
a name
expect.
For you guys.
All right, go for it. I love
what
playing.
About
I got
Mike
a name.
Mike White.
He doesn't suck. Like
the legend of Mike White. He's
no,
not.
I mean,
that does not suck
like,
at
he,
all.
He
that's
won
like,
games. He's won
discount
games for
Hoyer.
The Jets, for the Bills, right? For the Dolphins, I think too. Like,
yeah. Complete the AFC East quadrilogy.
Yeah. That's true,
that's,
too.
That's right. That's right. He's played for the Jetropolitans. He's
but
played
I think that's
for the
a guy
Dolphins.
Too, like,
now he can
like to your point, Tom, bill. Like if May misses a couple games, like you can like Mike White can win you a game, like as a you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Josh Dobbs, like if he has to play three games, yeah. I think you go 0-3. Whereas if it's Mike White, maybe it's only 1-2, but that's obviously a big difference between 0-3.
And he's someone that doesn't make a lot of.
Pats Nation just took a giant collective sigh, by the way. If Josh Dobbs has to start three games, he'll get you 0-3. That's not an unfair analysis, John.
Julian Edelman's available.
I didn't want Bazooka Joe sticking around as badly as the rest of everybody. Heave-ho Joe. Yeah, you could easily go. I know. He beat the fifth string Bills, who were trying to lose and were better at losing than you. And the Mayo finales last January as well. So don't get me started on that as well. I like the Mike White. I think that actually we got a lot of love for Mike White in the comments as well, Tommy. That's actually a solid pick. Where did he just go? Has he been lingering? Is he hanging out at the bus stop? Did
he
just
was in Buffalo camp. What? They had a really strong quarterback room as quarterback rooms go. Obviously Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky and Mike White. Were the three guys. They had a fourth too that I'm blanking on, but I mean, look, Trubisky's not going to win you 10 games either, but he's a serviceable backup. He's as backups go, he's one of the better ones. So the fact that they had Mike White as that third, he kind of just became the odd man out. So my guess is that, and I haven't seen this week's episode of Hard Knocks, but you have to imagine maybe
they love Josh Allen on this week's episode in a stunning turn of events. There's
you have to imagine that the organization was realistic with Mike White, like, hey, you're going to be number three, and he realizes he can be the number two somewhere. So a place like New England, if you get Mike White, do you release Josh Dobbs? Can you trade Josh Dobbs? I mean, I have not been impressed with Josh Dobbs in any capacity this camp or preseason. I don't know about you guys. I haven't seen a lick of positivity with him out there.
He can scramble. He's again, smart guy, good teammate. I'm sure he was signed for his lack of controversy and his intellectual acumen and football smarts as much as he was his ability to lead receivers into the last pass they'll catch that particular season. I am one to always want to shout out the UFL or like a crazy idea. Christopher Adam Beatty watching live on Facebook as we record the latest Six Rings and Football Things. How about Jordan Te'amu from the DC Defenders? They're a fun football team to watch if you like alternative springtime football. You think we could get him from the UFL? The answer is A, he would drive himself and not even bother asking Freeze Pops or Lion's Den to pick him up from the airport in Providence. And B, if the Patriots had any interest, he already would have been there. There was the quarterback. Johnny, help me out here. Maybe you know too, Freeze Pops. He played in the UFL, and he also threw passes for Carolina
PJ,
as well.
PJ Walker,
strong arm.
Yeah.
PJ Walker, thank you very much.
Too,
so we've had
Yeah, Battlehawk.
I wanted him to start over Mac Jones. I was ready for him to come in with his weird chest tattoo and his beautiful wife and come in and start over Mac Jones when Mac Jones started crapping the bed as well. Yes, PJ Walker. Thank you. Oh, you're getting more call Hoyers. Oh, where's Taylor Heineke?
So I just looked it up. I saw that comment. He was released 2 hours ago by the Chargers. So Taylor Heineke's someone that
I'd so that much dude, rather Heineke over
in a playoff game. Absolutely. Didn't win, but like, you know.
That game might merit a late night rewatch. Andrew Callahan recently tweeted out what a fun rewatch the Brady Mac Jones game was from 2021. Yeah. Just like if you're up late and you want to watch a random game, he said it rewatches better than it did if you maybe you were too nervous or tense. Wow. I was just going to say, I was there. Watch that. I like when people say, what's the lone touchdown Jonnu Smith scored? It was on the Deion Branch post pattern underneath the goalpost.
Yeah.
I think Jonnu Smith's going to have a nice season in Pittsburgh, by the way, That's a different conversation for a different day.
I was going to say, yo, freeze prop, shut the F up. No, I mean, it's so strange how the man came here, couldn't do anything right, and then all of a sudden was just a monster everywhere else. But, you know, Arthur Smith, he obviously has the keys to unlock him. Everybody else, no dice. Thoughts on taking Zappe back?
I'm not opposed. I mean, he is someone that you know can go out there and win you some football games, right? Like, he did it. I don't think he's mm-hmm. very good, but I'd feel more comfortable with him than Dobbs, really. And maybe I'm just super low on Dobbs because I saw it in my face every day for 20 days of training camp and 3 preseason games. Mm-hmm. And I saw him put Kyle Williams in a position where he could have
almost got him realistically the preseason in Minnesota. Realistically
could have missed regular season games for what the position he put Kyle Williams in as a veteran starter in the league, guy that has started in the league, that shouldn't be happening. So, like, I'd feel better with Zappe. I don't think he's coming back here personally, but I'd feel better with Zappe than Dobbs.
Yeah, I'm sure, John, somewhere Austin Colley is like, oh, I know what a hospital ball is like. Peyton threw plenty of them to me. Thank you very much. And I can relate to this guy.
Yeah, maybe Jared Stidham's available too, the Brady successor. Yeah,
let's go get Liddy like Stiddy, baby. Hell, I'll take freaking Cam
Newton still available.
I'll take freaking Cam Newton, who can't be Superman to his kids anymore. Did you just say you liked Cam Newton?
So I wish Cam Newton had been healthy when he was here, because I think that would have been unbelievable. Like, just the skill set with McDaniels.
But that's the point.
I'm just like, I know it's a total hypothetical, but like, everything they didn't get when they didn't draft Lamar Jackson, like, if that Cam Newton year, that would have been. It just would have been a lot of fun. Like, that would have been something totally unique.
And I still appreciated I take a lot of lumps for this, but I appreciated the fact that Cam Newton tried his ass off in the COVID year with no fans in the stands, being the guy who had to replace the GOAT, the most unenviable position on a roster bereft of talent. You want to talk about like savaged bones of a zebra on the Serengeti. Like, there was no meat out there for him to work with. And yet still, 7-9 and semi-entertaining along the way. Boys, let's play this one. Let's just run through the position groups. Somebody stop me when they get to a position grouping that had a surprise as far as a keep, as far as a dismissal, or as far as, holy smokes, we need to address something. We obviously just went through quarterbacks, running backs. I think we're good.
Stop.
Oh.
Stop.
Okay, go.
I wanted to ask you guys this. So 3 running backs. I don't know. Like, Trevion Henderson, rookie. I kind of thought they were going to carry 4 there. And not to just like nitpick everything, like we're only 2 position groups in. But I thought Terrell Jennings showed you something this camp. And I thought Jamichael Hasty showed you something last season in regular season games when he was given opportunities. So I thought one of those 2 guys would be here in a 4th running back role, so to speak. Probably like pseudo special teamer / running back role. So that one surprised me. I don't know about how you guys feel, but I thought at least one of those 2 guys would make the roster.
Yeah. And that's like I mentioned earlier, like the Baker thing tying into Henderson, because maybe they'll use Baker on kick returns to limit Henderson. Because I agree. I mean, Stevenson has had fumbling issues before, and I know he's played in pretty much every game, but he has worn down multiple times during seasons. Henderson obviously is a rookie, so I thought they might keep four. But the issue is, if you're going to keep, you know, seven, eight receivers, and obviously eight in this case, you can't keep four. Right. It's just, so I hear you, Tom. And like Hasty was the one that I thought they would keep. He has a nice speed element, but some power too. But I guess, yeah. I thought they would have kept four, but you know, and maybe this is where they looked at Kendrick Bourne's value and said his value in the offense and with Josh and knowing the system as a vet is more than a fourth running back. It's a good point. It's an interesting point because I think given you know, one guy's a rookie, another guy has worn down in the past, and I think it could be a great tandem, but I thought they might have kept four.
You know, actually, Joe C in the chat points out that Lan Larrison would have been four, and I think Tom Curran said he was going to make the team. I thought option. He would have. Freeze Pops, you were down there all the time. How did he? I thought he looked great. He was the leading pass catching running back in college football last year as well. That was another one of these UDFAs in a draft in which they absolutely myrtleized the UDFA captures. Because look what you got: DJ James, you got Efton Chisholm III, and Elijah Ponder.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that he definitely would have made the team, and for exactly what you said, Fitzy, like he could catch the ball. He was a legit, like
I called him Diet Burkhead.
Yeah. I didn't want to make like the white running back comparison, but like Burkhead, Danny Woodhead, short little white guy that can catch the ball quick. Like,
yeah,
I think it would have been a great fit. But obviously he got hurt. But yeah, so that not to immediately stop you two groups in here, we've stopped at both groups.
It's a worthy discussion. Now that's what we're here for. No one's in a rush. And this is the kind, this is the content people are here for. And that, I'm happy to knock around with you boys. All right, tight end. I don't think we need to bat that one around. Nobody was too excited about CJ Dupre or.
I was kind of hoping G. Scott Jr. could make the roster. I mean, he was recruited at Ohio State as a wide receiver and added, I think, 25 pounds to his frame. Just as a pass, don't be shocked if he's a practice squad guy and maybe eventually develops into a decent. Just a little note on him.
And he's fast for his size.
Yeah, man. But that's the thing. He was a receiver flashed. In high school. Like, yeah. The speed, you're right, Tom. Like, the speed. Mm-hmm. So, again, I just – little note. I don't be shocked if he's
– Looked good at practice, too. Quite. He made a couple catches the day that we were there for joint practices with the Commanders as well. So, that's a solid point, John. Obviously, D-line, I think we're good with. Linebackers, we addressed the surprise with Braden Swinson as well. Hopefully, he sneaks through. Cornerbacks, it's a little it's a little shallow, but there's talent there when healthy. Let's get into the meat of the next two real quick. We'll start with wide receiver. I don't need to take my victory lap. I said weeks ago, Efton Chisholm was going to make the roster. I took my lumps on social media. I had almost as many people make fun of me on the radio show and beyond with listenership as I did for my Roman Anthony swing path take as well. Which, by the way, I was right on as well, and he jokingly loved me up a little bit for it this weekend.
That was awesome.
Outstanding audio. Thank you, Rob Bradford. Eight receivers. Even now, John, when you look at it, it's like, damn. Yeah, Bourne may get put on IR, which will free up a spot to make a claim elsewhere or possibly make a trade. And yeah, Javon Baker may be a special teamer and a gunner more than he's going to be a special teamer. That's still six. That's a lot of receivers to keep in the modern NFL.
Yeah, and I'd still sit here and tell you I'd go after Jacoby Myers if I could, if I were them. But yeah, look, when you look at these eight guys, like the Baker thing, I've mentioned it already, right? I think that's tied in somewhat to Stevenson and special teams. I really think Bourne is here because of McDaniels, like, and the familiarity they had and Bourne's 800 yards.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Receiving in 2021, I think that plays a big deal in him because he knows Bourne. He's familiar with him. And Bourne's probably not as explosive as he was in 2021, even though he's now a full year recovered from that injury.
A year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kayshawn Booty, you know, we were down there. I think he's had as good a camp as anyone on offense. Like, I give him credit. I had serious questions about him in the offseason. I had serious questions about him at the beginning of training camp. And he answered all of, and the questions were never the talent thing, right? In 2020, he was one of the best freshman receivers in the country at LSU. It was a preparation, mentality, injury thing, all that.
Gambling.
To his credit, he's answered all of those. And I think the rest of the guys are kind of obvious being there. You know, Williams, Hollins, Douglas Diggs, those are kind of obvious. But, I mean, I'd give Kayshon Booty the most credit for how far he's advanced this camp. And the Bourne one is an interesting one to watch. You mentioned IR. That's an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of commenters are pointing out that they wouldn't be surprised if one of these guys gets traded as well. Who would be of interest? What would you get for him? And what area do you attack if you could possibly move one of these guys, Tom?
So I think John and I talked about this either on the radio or off air. I forget, but the obvious landing spot for Bourne is back in San Francisco, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He's a guy that had success with Shanahan and he's the reason why he got the contract he got from New England when he was a free agent back in the day. So if they have a need at receiver, if they're looking for depth, if they're looking for a guy they could just plug back in and he'd be ready to go, I think Bourne could be there in a landing spot. And for me personally, I think that the Patriots, I mean, depth is a problem at a lot of levels, but if you can get help at linebacker, like I don't feel 100% great about Jack Gibbons and Marte Mapu being huge parts of your linebacking core for this upcoming season. So that's where I'm looking. And I don't think that there's like a perfect one-for-one trade, like Bourne for a linebacker, but just speaking more broadly, if there's pieces that you can move to bring in linebacking help, that's where I'm looking. And not to jump around too much, but the fact that they have $60 million in cap space is going to put them at the front of the line for these best available guys that
the
all
claimers.
Yeah. Like, you know, Najee Harris, a guy that you really like, John, is available now. Like Dolcik, the tight end from the Giants that we talked about. I mean, would that not help bolster that tight end room if you brought in Dolcik and got rid of Jack Westover? You know, that. So I think there is going to be opportunities to bolster that depth, and they have the cash that will put them at the front of the line if they want these guys.
But John, isn't Westover going to be more as much of a fullback as he is a tight end or blocking inline blocking tight end?
Feels that way. And I would also say keeping eight receivers, and even if one's going to be on IR or whatever, like that kind of tells me they're going to use a lot of one tight end sets and 11 personnel with Hunter Henry and Hooper will rotate in. But I just, three tight ends and eight receivers, though, so maybe not so much 12 personnel stuff. And also, they're going to have packages, guys, with Stevenson and Henderson on the field at the same time as well, which they'd be smart to do. So I just wonder if the tight end position has always been big in Josh McDaniels' offense. It will continue to be big in Josh McDaniels' offense. I just think it'll be more 11 personnel, things like that. So maybe they'll get away with three tight ends. And to your point, Fitzy, Westover having more of a blocking kind of type role.
Yeah, it's kind of fun watching 87 get out there in space a la Jakob Johnson and just try to smash into guys. Like Gronk always loved throwing somebody out of the club. But like it's just, I don't know, maybe that's just one of those numbers where it's like, maybe we shouldn't have somebody else wearing it at this point now. As much as we love seeing
that,
a full.
I would retire that one. I had this conversation with Tommy on, didn't we talk about this on the air, about the three numbers or whatever I'd retire for the Patriots? That'd be one.
You might not have been talking about it with me, but I'm with you if you're going to retire another jersey. It should be one of those ones that's like unofficially retired, right? Like that happens sometimes. Like no one wore 12 until Brady was retired. Like one of those things.
You do that, Tommy Freeze Pops, if you do that, do you then have to, like, when you retire it, do you have to say at the induction, you know, do we have Bob Soucy outside the Brady statue at the Hall of Patriot play, the Patriot place, just going, unless we forget as well, how important and how great back in the 1990s, Ben Wintercoats was as well.
So it's funny, like
that guy was the jam growing
he
up.
He was the dude.
I would retire 24 and 54, and I would do exactly what you're saying, Fitzy. 24 would be for Ty Law, Darrell Revis, and Gilmore, and then 54 would be for Brewski and
Ty and don't forget, I think it was it Wheatley who also wore 20, or was it Will Height?
Will Height, because I think Wheatley was 22. Yeah,
bingo.
If I remember, yep. Will Height.
Either one.
Yeah, the 4th-and-2 game, it was Jonathan Willite that gave up the game-winning touchdown.
Jackass.
Yeah.
That's right. No, you're right. It should be a shared retirement of 87. 87 and 54 should be worn no more.
I would add 24 to that list, too.
Yeah, that's a good call. All right, so this 8 wide receiver thing, this is we think Matt Collins is going to have a bigger role.
Yeah.
We're not sure exactly how long it's going to take Kyle Williams to catch on. Everybody thinks Pop Douglas is going to have 90 receptions. I'm still waiting to see it. That's a prove it or lose it deal to me, as much as I like the kid because he's such a vibe and such a little beacon of positivity. Steph Diggs, what are we going to do for like 71 and a half catches as an over under, 68 and a half for 750 yards and 4 touchdowns? Where are you at with that one, Lions?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, especially now that he's going to be ready for Week 1. I mean, he had 800 yards receiving through half the year last year, and he was, you know, clearly the number 2, and at times, you know, when they were all healthy, the number 3 option, if you include Tank Dell and Nico Collins down there. So, yeah, I mean, I see, you know, and you think back too to Kendrick Bourne's first year with McDaniels, the 800 yards receiving. Like, I think 800 yards is in the neighborhood for Diggs, 5-6 touchdowns in the neighborhood. I think that's a safe bet. Because they're gonna go to him a lot.
And I don't have Steph Diggs' yak numbers in front of me, but just from watching him play, it always felt like Josh would find him under the defense and then mm-hmm. he would just go. And knowing how Josh McDaniels' offense works, where he likes to get that ball out of the quarterback's hands often, and Steph Diggs getting open underneath the defense and making plays, like I could totally see him having a year like you described, Fitzy, you know, 71, 72 catches. You know, I personally feel like Steph Diggs is going to be set up for success in this offense.
Is there any chance that Steph Diggs, I'm not talking no in case anybody is getting into their 2007 Moss bag vibes, he's not being kept under, you know, the Ferrari's not being kept in the garage, and then Cameron and Ferris are going to take it out to much to everyone's surprise, but like, Are we talking like he's been managed and mitigated for a reason, and then we'll actually see like a stunningly good performance with that 9.5 month ACL come September 7th as well? Like I'm expecting a little more than everyone is projecting, but I'm also not looking for 2021, 2022 Steph Diggs.
Yeah, I think if I kind of agree with you, Fitzy, because when he was signed, the conversation was about Week 5, right? Like, can he come back around Week 5, Week 6? So that was a lot of the conversation. And now we're sitting here Week 1. Like, even if he's 70-80% of himself Weeks 1 through 4 leading into Week 5, I think mm-hmm. you're, again, it's not going to be 07 Moss, right? We know that, but like, it's going to be, you know, if he can be kind of what Chris Hogan gave you in 2016, and maybe not lead the league in yards per reception like Hogan did, I think that's unrealistic, but come in and be pretty productive right away and make a handful of big plays a month, I think that would be, you know, that would be a great, great ceiling if you could get that out of him.
You're talking to a major Chris Hogan stan. I think his 2016 is one of the more underrated.
In yards per reception.
Fun little aside right here. 2014 LaFell or 2016 Hogan?
Ooh, I thought LaFell was super underrated. I'd go Hogan, but LaFell is like lost in the fold because that 2014 team had so many dudes on it, like guys that we remember, name dudes. But LaFell was really good.
I would probably, by the way, the 2014 team, I think, was the second best Patriots team in team history. I'd go Hogan, I think, because you had Gronk injured that year. So you had to get more out of your offense from the receivers. Malcolm Mitchell was a rookie as well. Good rookie, but a rookie. And you had these inside slot guys. Like, he was an outside presence they otherwise, like, they didn't have, and they needed that a lot. No offense to Martellus Bennett, but he wasn't Gronk at tight end. So,
yeah, I would say Hogan by
that's close.
Tuck
that's,
as well.
Yeah.
But, like, don't forget LaFell had one of the 5 best Brady touchdown throws in the division round against the Ravens, that dime to put them up 35-31. And then the first touchdown in Super Bowl 49 as well.
Yeah, he had a nice Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. I still say Diggs gives you like 78 catches, 850 yards. I'm going to take the over on 4.5 touchdowns. I'll go 5, maybe 6 touchdowns. Like a really good a very good season. Not full Steph Diggs as well, but considering the offense he's in, a rookie plus quarterback, because it's hard to say, you know, Drake May is a full second year because he only played 11 games last year and he was beset by AVP, Mayo, and everything else. All those factors working against him in a crowded receiver room. I still say he has a good season, but he'll definitely be better than everyone is now downgrading expectations to. And last but not least, boys, our last topic here on the 53-man reaction pod to 2025 Patriots on August 26th, the offensive line. Is it definitely better than last year? Is it a source of worry, John Lyons? Are you losing sleep already over it? And is there anyone floating out there in the ether of free release players on roster cutdown day that maybe the Patriots could bring in and help steady the line, or at least give us some backup fortitude?
So it is definitely better than it was last year, but as you and I have talked about, Fitzy and Tom, I think you and I have talked about this too, you can't equate being better with being good, right? Those are two different things. So last year, they were the worst offensive line in the league. This year, they are better, but does that get them to 22nd, 23rd? Like, yeah, that's better, but it's still the 23rd offensive line in the league. I'm in the minority, at least when it comes to Boston media members. I think Will Campbell can be a pretty good left tackle. Not going to happen overnight. Might not be till the end of the season. It's all about his feet and his hands, folks. Everyone wants to talk about his arms. Watch his feet and his hands. But I think if it's him and Jared Wilson together on the left side, and I love Jared Wilson as a player, but two rookies, you might have some growing pains there, but I think at least there's talent. I think Morgan Moses will stabilize things for at least two-thirds of the season at right tackle. On when it will be good at right guard. Ben Brown is a decent enough rotational guy. And Marcus Bryant, nice camp from him.
Pleasant surprise. Yeah. Nice camp for the big guy in the sixth round.
A tackle with long arms. How about that, right? Nice camp from him. Started 13 games at left tackle last year. Everyone talks about Armon Membu, right? But he started 13 games. I think it was 2 years ago, whatever. And last year played right. But he's played left tackle a lot. And he can play, obviously, right tackle as we've seen in camp. So it is better, Fitzy, no doubt. But better is not going to equate to it being really good overnight all of a sudden. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah, so we got a lot of swing guys on the line, Freeze Pops. We got Caden Wallace, who was drafted as a right tackle, tried to play some left, now maybe a guard/tackle swing. Vidarian Lowe. I'll put a dollar in the Vidarian Lowe jar for saying that. I heard he's one of the nicest guys in the world, but he's also Vidarian Lowe. That's $3. Like Freeze Pops said, Marcus Bryant. Ben Brown, who comes in, quote, off the street last year, released from guy I forget where at this point. It's also
Detroit.
Okay, comes in, starts at center, plays fine, Bradbury-esque, if you will. But then they go and they pay for store brand Ben Brown with Garrett Bradbury. Like I said, Ryan Wendell light. Like there's a lot of swing variables in there as well. I just need to see on Wenu locked down his $19 million a year post. I want to see Jared Wilson stay healthy at left guard until he takes over at center, where I would prefer to see him, and I think all of us would. And as far as Will Campbell goes, just don't suck in pass pro, because I know when it comes to run blocking, like you pointed out, Lyons, the guy is a mauler, the guy is a beast, the guy is an absolute animal. You probably have a good idea as well. Like, John, did you did you see anyone get released today? You know, I saw there was Skipper from Detroit. Obviously, Trent Brown got cut free. Anyone else out? Lael Collins, get out of here. He hasn't been healthy in 3 years. Any possible options out there the Pats could maybe entertain bringing in should a Bourne get moved to IR or somebody else get traded?
Yeah, so I've been scouring the interwebs for available offensive linemen that I think would be good fits here. And like you mentioned, guys like Lael Collins or Trent Brown, I just think that they're past their prime, and it's all guys like that that are hitting the free agent market right now from these teams. So it's going to end up being someone like a Ben Brown that comes in as a sort of unknown younger guy that can play multiple positions that I think that the Patriots will end up bringing in. I think that unless you're really locked in on like that secondary offensive line market, like John might be, I don't know that a lot of people are going to have a name readily available for you. I think it's going to be the Ben Browns of the world, big body guy that can play multiple positions. I think Caden Wallace did himself a huge favor being willing to play guard with the big body that he has. So now he has versatility. Like they're going to need to find guys that are big and can play multiple positions. Like you said, Fitzy, I personally want Jared Wilson playing center at some point this season, and they're going to have to just figure it out at left guard. And maybe Ben Brown is that guy, but I want Wilson at center. I think he's going to be the future at center for this team.
And Cole Strange, John, after three seasons, laughed at and mocked by the F them picks Rams, Les Snead and McVay. Oh, Cole Strange got taken in the first round. I thought, well, so much for us having him on the four in the fourth. God, the supervillain laugh haunt me into my dreams. You know, if they don't take him and they quit, don't screw around in that draft, you have Trent McDuffie at cornerback as opposed to, listen, not that I don't love Gonzo, but that, anyway, what Freeze Pops was basically saying, John, was the call is going to have to come from inside the building, it seems, if there's going to be any help or swing assistance this year on the Pats offensive line.
Yeah, and just kind of like, and not to state the obvious, but like, these guys are available right now for a reason. Like, when teams have good offensive linemen, they don't release them on cutdown day. Like, again, so again, like, you, the name, like, Lalo Collins, that's a good name. Like, Trent Brown, that's a name. But, like, those guys, like, they're not worth bringing in. Like, that's the issue. And even Ben Brown, like, we're not talking about a really good player here. Like, we're talking about a guy that came in an awful situation last year and just looked barely competent, which was a step up from what you had. So that's the issue. And, like, the Cole Strange thing too, man. Like, I go back to it, and I tweeted this earlier tonight. Like, the original sin is that you had Joe Tooney and Ted Karras on the roster. You let both go. And if you keep one of those guys, you don't even need to draft a guard in 2022. We're having a different conversation. I mean, look, and it's unfortunate because from 2000 to 2016, for the most part, the Patriots drafted really well. And then it turned in 17. And the biggest reason that they're not good and the biggest reason that Bill Belichick's no longer the head coach is that from 2017 to 2022, they were one of the worst drafting teams in the league. And 2022 was like the capstone project on that. And it's funny, too, because now 2023 drafts, it actually looks kind of good. But it's just, it's one of those things where I think, and a lot of Patriots fans know this, they saw it over the year on the reverse. When you make a mistake like letting Tooney and Karras go, then you kind of
Karras. God, the Karras one. I'm sorry to interrupt, John. That was so stupid. Over $1 million, and the guy loved being a Patriot. He fit perfectly.
Won multiple Super Bowls.
He's a mauler.
Yeah.
Won Super Bowls as well. And freaking Tooney available this season.
They franchise tag Tooney and then let him go anyway, which was just bizarre. But so that's dumb. The thing. Like, that's the issue the Patriots have had the last few years, where they make a mistake like that, and then they chase that mistake and compound it and make it worse, like with the Strange pick, right? Like, they whiff on, you know, N'Keal Harry, and then so they trade a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu in that same season, and neither one works out, and now you have no good receivers, and you have one less second-round pick. Like, for years, again, when they were good in the dynasty, we saw the reverse of that. We saw them getting ahead of things. We saw that was when it – and that's they're still paying for it. I mean, right – you could even argue that – you know, whether it's Caden Wallace or whoever else, like, some of those picks were them chasing, you know, not getting other things right.
Chasing need, of course. We don't even need to get back in for the 9 millionth time. The Jalen Polk and Javon Baker debacle as well, because
could
the cornerback.
Lad McFitzy instead.
Jesus, please.
John, I want to throw a name at you because he was a free agent that was rumored to the Pats, and you're kind of like the offensive line guy here, I'd say. What about Cam Robinson? Because he's someone that Houston apparently is looking to possibly trade with Ursary coming in. He kind of Wally pipped him in camp.
Loved Ursary, by the way, real quick. Just a
huge guy for Minnesota. Yeah, I'm with you. I liked him a lot, too.
Good camp.
But yeah, apparently he's going to come in and possibly take Cam Robinson's job. And there's a chance that Houston's going to look to move him before the season even starts. Is that someone worth bringing in? And then does that give you a little bit more flexibility here?
I'm not against it, but like, he's another one of those guys where, what, in the last 3 years, he's been traded multiple times or available. But like, why is
Jacksonville,
that guy,
Minnesota, Houston, right, now possibly a fourth team?
Why is that guy continually available? Right? Like, that's the, cause I think he's like, if the Patriots had traded for him last year, would he have come in and helped? Yes. But like, is he a better option than the guys you have? Like, I don't know if he's a better option to Tom than the guys you have there now. Like that's kind of the issue. Like, again, I'm not like, if they brought him in tomorrow, I'm not against it, but I don't know. Like, is he better than Campbell, Moses, Onwenu, Wilson? Like, I don't know.
It's a good point. I think at this point now, unless someone of greater value or surprise significance gets released or is made available, just ride with the guys you got. I'd rather find out what Jared Wilson, Will Campbell, Marcus Bryant, and Caden Wallace have, as opposed to bringing in a 31, 32-year-old, very expensive, broken down, four times traded in 3 years guy like Cam Robinson. It just doesn't interest me. Again, it's not because I wouldn't want to see the team go to the Super Bowl this year or sniff the playoffs or play meaningful football in December and January. I just got to know what we got. Now, what we got is going to be a hell of a lot better than what we've had, because 9 of 11 draft picks made it, as opposed to 1, 2, 3 from last year. And I barely count Drake May because that one was so obvious. It was an easy pick, but he's still not completely acquitted, because I think he needs to go out there and have a good, full, healthy season as well. All right, boys, any final thoughts before we wrap up this extra long, thoroughly fulfilling, utterly enjoyable 53-man roster projection podcast?
Just one other thing, and we haven't really touched on it too much. Kyle Duggar, whose name was out there in trade reports and all that, I'm glad he made this roster. Look, I think right now their top three safeties are Peppers, Hawken, and Woodson, but I think Duggar is too good a football player to outright cut, and I wonder if they can use him, much like the Patriots used Adrian Phillips a few years ago, where have him play in the box at a quasi linebacker type role. So I'm glad they kept Duggar. Again, I know he was injured last year. I know he didn't play well. I know he has limitations in pass coverage. I just think he, and forget the money, I just think he's too good a football player to outright cut. And if Vrabel is as good of a defensive coach as we all think he is, I think you can find some creative ways to use him and get that downhill speed in the box, at least in some situations.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, John, is you keep Duggar and you keep Anfernee Jennings. And those were two guys that it felt like, I don't know, 10 days ago that they were going to be out of here. And then I think everyone took a step back and said, this is a team that cannot afford to lose good football players. And we know Duggar, when he's healthy, is a good football player. We know Anfernee Jennings can get after the quarterback. We saw him do it against second and third stringers in Minnesota, but we've also seen him do it in regular season action as well. So I'm happy that they kept those two guys. And if the right deal pops up, then sure, you move them and you help with the rebuild. I get it. But as far as winning football games starting week one, I think both of those guys help you in that effort. So I'm glad they're here.
Much like a Stanley Kubrick film or any great piece of art, this is a work in progress. There will be changes aplenty made throughout the course of the next 12 days until, of course, and yes, I have to say it this way, Sunday, September 7th, and John Lyons will be there as well. The New England Patriots open up the first game of the Mike Vrabel era at 1 p.m. at the Razor against Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, Ashton Jeanty, and the Raiders. It's going to be fun. They could make some trades. There could be some guys stashed on IR. There could be some more cuts made. I, too, am a subscriber to the idea you need more talent or solid, dependable, professional-level football players like a Kyle Duggar, who I believe is being held accountable in a court of overpaid law because of the contract that he accepted last year when Elliott Wolf and company that were trying to figure out what the hell they were doing with and or for themselves offered him way too much money. Jennings is a perfectly fine, edge-setting, slower Belichick type. Most football teams could and should find a use for him. We shouldn't re-legislate that or say they are the reasons why this team will or more than likely won't make the postseason as well. But yes, a lot of transition, a lot of interesting stuff, great responses, great analysis from our guys tonight. I highly recommend, for the viral clips that he grabs, he attends Sox games, he attends Celtics games, he attends Pats games, and so much more. Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, at ya boy, B-O-I-C-T, fresh in the house. Great to have you on the pod. And of course, you guys know and respect the living legend of John Lyons, at the real John Lyons, the Lyons dead here, the professor, the coach, the knowledge, the sage. And me, I'm just that guy who would rather be at a brewery but loves talking football with his friends, your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, at Fitzy GFY. Great job, boys. Let's do it again sometime soon as well. Thank you very much for Lions, for Freeze Pops, for everyone at Odyssey 2400 Sports and WEEI. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, saying thank you very much for tuning into this, a live reaction podcast to the Patriots making their 53-man roster cutdowns. We'll be back soon with so much more as we are just over a week and a half away from the start of the 2025 NFL season. Until then and forevermore, you guys know the score, and this is the place to tune in. Good day, God bless, and as always, go Pats.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.